Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs, and happy March to you. It's March 1st, 2021. Glad February is behind us. I never liked that month very much. Okay, kind of the middle and the bleak month here in Maine, so I'm glad it's March. That means spring, amazingly, is coming. And I hope the weather's good and you're feeling fine where you are today. I'm Larry Jacobs. We got Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio here. Got a nice show for you today with Dr. Don Gemeinhardt, who is the Director of Strategic Funding and Grants for our good friends at Boxlight, boxlight.com. He'll tell you all about the company and then give you some great ideas and expertise on the new federal funding for education and how to get it. So it's going to be a nice show, and they're going to be very informative, I'm sure. You all probably know we are part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org. Go over there, enjoy our online journal, which is excellent. It's called Equity and Access, and you'll like it over there. Again, ace-ed.org. All our podcasts are archived over there. And you can join with us if you want. Everything we do is free. We just want your voice heard over at ace-ed.org. So please check that out. And if you like what we're doing, tell your friends. All right. Without further ado, Dr. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing this morning, Larry?
I'm fine. Don, Gemeinhardt, is that the best way to pronounce your last name?
Yes, Gemeinhardt, correct. Okay. Very good.
Good enough. Good. Where are you today? Are you down in the Carolinas? Where are you today?
Yes, I am. I'm in Hickory, North Carolina, which is about halfway between Charlotte and Asheville, actually.
How pretty. What a nice place. A little better than Maine right now, I can guarantee you that. And I understand, Don, just talk about this. I like this. You taught in the for the U.S. Air Force?
Yes, I did different training programs for air-based defense, to things that you know, the Air Force has, and also threat awareness and things like that. So, yeah, sure did. Then also taught college during that time, too, so.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. We appreciate that. All right. And so now you're Director of Strategic Funding and Grants for Boxlight. How did you become expert in that area?
Well, when I after I got out of the military, actually, I started working for a company called Research Triangle Institute, which is a nonprofit and actually in Durham, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And we started working on a lot of different proposals and grants to do with everything from the Department of Education to World Health to even DHS and other organizations. And so I got into writing because I get into writing proposals, obviously. Then the other part of that, obviously, is doing grants for different initiatives. So that's how I first got into that.
It's really interesting. You must have had a propensity for it because the detail of doing that would drive me crazy. I don't think everybody in the world can do that. Okay? What was it like? I'm just curious about it. Yeah, it's an interesting.
Yeah, actually, you have a good point about being detailed to that, and that's one of the concerns we also have in different organizations trying to put a grant together or a proposal together, is that there is a lot of detail to it, a lot of different forms, and now with a lot of the legal issues that states or the federal government has, there's a lot of other different kinds of forms you have to fill out in financial responsibility areas, and you have to be familiar with a great deal of regulations and code in order to make sure that you qualify for these different types of grants out there. But that's also why they're probably not as used as much as they should be, is because it's kind of daunting for them. So.
Well, you know, me, the minute I see one of these forms, I start to fill it out. And before you know it, if in a paper world, I'd be tearing it up and walking out of the room and getting a glass of scotch. Okay? That's simple, you know? And I think you're right. I think because of that, a lot of grants, okay, are not taken fully by everybody because they just get frustrated. Okay, kind of like writing a novel, you get 57 rejections, you're not going to write that second one, you know? It's kind of like the same thing. And, wow, it's interesting you're able to do this. And as in your current position, again, Director of Strategic Funding, okay, and the grants for Boxlight, are you guys helping school districts get grants for yeah. for when they buy your products, that kind of thing?
Yeah, certainly, and that's our really our primary function is to help different organizations not only you know buy the particular products, obviously, and the systems we have, but also to get through the process itself of applying for a grant and, you know, even helping them develop, you know, what they really want to use it for, you know, which is the justification part of it that needs to be strong in any kind of grant application. And so that's certainly one of our biggest roles is that, you know, you see these things out there in a lot of different areas, but certainly we try to do that in box light and focus. Not only, you know, well, they want this thing, well, what are you going to use it for? And, you know, how can we help develop that picture? So we do a lot of that.
Yeah, you do. And by the way, everybody, it would probably be not only the show, I went over to Boxlight's website, which is boxlight.com. Okay. And right on the, I don't know if you've seen this, Don, but right on the very front page, okay, there's a click through about funding. Okay.
Right.
That will help people. So again, it's boxlight.com. Yeah. And says contact the Boxlight team, and you can call the Boxlight team when they answer. You can go, hello, Don. Okay, because it's probably Don. It's the Boxlight team.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So but this, the funding we're talking about now, okay, that you want to talk about, I think we should, is the COVID-19 funding. Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's called the CRRS, or the Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act, and that's there's $54 billion in there for K-12 schools, and so out of the 82 that was for all the schools, and there's even funding in there almost $3 million for private schools, let alone public schools.
Wow, I was just going to ask that question. So that's really interesting. It's the old joke: a billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon we're talking real money. You know, Everett Dirksen's all blind. Okay. So, but you know, it's COVID money. All right. And that's easy to say, but what does that actually mean? What can they use the dollars for?
Well, actually, there's a whole list of criteria that they can use it for. And that's one of the things that it really covers not only, you know, COVID, you know, entry procedures, funding for figuring out systems or applications that do that, but also the cost of, you know, doing things at the school in order to make it the safest for the children, the students, but also it has to do with the safety issues too and the education issues of developing a better program for it. So going down through some of the requirements, you know, for instance, it says, you know, coordination of preparedness and response efforts. One of the things it says, for instance, provide principals and other school leaders with the resources necessary to address the needs of the individual schools. And so it really does open it up to a lot of things that relate to education, professional development, a lot of things that, you know, obviously Boxlight does. Not only getting the technology, but working through the processes and helping all sorts of different modes. For instance, it allows you to fund programs, excuse me, for instance, online, you know, different medias, also to assist, you know, the different economic levels to try to get them involved in a, you know, maybe a clearer, more efficient type of educating process. And so there's, you know, there's a whole gamut of areas that that these requirements lead to. And really what they're under is a thing called ESSER and GEAR. Yeah. The ESSER stands for the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Fund, and GEAR is the Governor's Emergency Education Relief Fund. And so they
keep going.
Yeah, yeah, and so they come down through the Department of Education to these two funding areas, and you can just literally go to ESSER.gov and to GEAR.gov. And they'll give you those like some of those general requirements that I was talking about, as far as what you can apply for. And then these different requirements can be changed a little bit by the states, but basically these general areas. But it really does cover the whole gamut of education and the process and the safety that that we need to be concerned about. The schools, not only right now, but everybody getting back and the dynamics that could happen under any kind of pandemic.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. And from what I understand, I think you just explained it pretty well, is that it can be used not only, I'm going to say this the right way, for educational needs, but also for safety needs. In other words, reventilating a school. I'll use that as an example.
That's a perfect example of that. You can use it for all those different safety. I mean, even school safety itself, and creating plans and operations and stuff and procedures to deal with the overall safety of the school. So it fits a lot of categories that the schools are concerned with. And really, it even literally says that the principal can say, okay, this is my priority and this is what I want to use these funds for. And they'll allow you to apply for some of those general areas. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, and I always find this interesting. There were, I mean, schools are fine, but there was, before COVID, but they needed a lot of help. A lot of the things that they needed, I'll just, again, use better air quality in schools and better sanitation in schools. Those challenges were there before the pandemic, okay?
Right.
And it's funny, this is one of the, I hate to say it this way, one of the better things that will come out of the pandemic is that all of a sudden things that needed to be done before the pandemic, when we realized they weren't fixed, suddenly the money's available. Okay,
yeah,
we'll just print more up. It's just one of those weird things about human nature. And and that's all this really is human nature. Kick the can down the road as long as you can. And when it rolls off the cliff, it's time to get stuff done. And hopefully this will all be better. Does it change state to state? You live in North Carolina. I live in Maine.
Yeah.
And this is federal. Yeah. But how important is it to have the best representative in Congress? How important is it to be where you are as opposed to here? How's it working like that?
Well, actually, because it's drawn from the federal, the DOE, and as I mentioned, the emergency education funding process, the emergency education relief fund, is that the federal government gives out what they want to put the money under these different criteria areas, which is some of the ones I kind of went over. And then those come down to the state. The funding, by the way, and get into kind of how the funding goes, but that is allocated actually according to what's called a Title I plan that
mm-hmm.
basically says how many students you have in the school. And those funds are already allocated. You can go at these same sites and see what each state has got as an allocation. Then the state then allocates it to the districts according to how they want to do it in the districts. And then basically there's an application that has these criteria in it, and then you match it to, okay, I want to increase the professional development of the school, for instance, and I want to teach the teachers that I want to help train the teachers doing this or that. And then you put in the estimate of who's going to do it, like Boxlight. And then the next thing would happen is that you would put that part of the funding in there that goes back up to the state. They obligate that out of the money that the federal government has sent them. And then you have 3 years to 5 years basically to spend that money. But you need to obligate that. And one of the real important things here right now on this is that, the last time we did this we had ESSER, and now we have ESSER II. ESSER I, where we had, about $13 billion. And unfortunately, because of a lot of different issues, the different districts And basically, the states actually didn't use a lot of that money. Matter of fact, some states didn't use the 20 to 40% of that money.
What happened to the money? What happened to the money? I'm curious.
What happened to the money is it's going, because they didn't obligate it by the 30th of September, it's actually going back to the government. It's going back to the federal government. And, that's really one of the basis of why Boxlight wanted to get, basically gave me the opportunity, a few others, to get into trying to help these different schools. Now obviously, we all have to admit that there's a lot of, tempo issues going on with schools for a lot of different, and so we really, but what we didn't have, we sort of had, I know, prior military and stuff, we had a saying in the Air Force about, fire and forget, right? You just fire a missile and it hits something. Well, with these funding issues, you really got to try to help to not only, you send it down and says, okay, your district has this amount of money. Well, they're limited manpower, people to do things. And then all these other things going on at the same time that they need a little, a little help on helping them create the information that's for the application. And so consequently, and that's really one of the arguments about, now we've got $54 billion coming out there. And now on the next one, by the way, the one that does it, the Senate right now, that's over $170 billion for schools, probably about $120 more billion for K through 12. And so we have another flow of funding coming, but the schools have to get their requests to the state by the end of July in most cases. And so the state can then obligate this next part of the funding by September. So that's kind of how the process goes. But it's an issue for not only the time to get things done, but also how do you get the estimate of what you want?
Exactly.
What things are out there, and that's where we're there to. That's why Boxlight's there to help. So.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And when people contact you, okay, and again, you're Boxlight. You might want to explain what the company exactly does, but so people can understand that. But can you help them, or would you help them, or do you help them beyond the needs of what they would need for Boxlight products or services? In other words, can you help them right across the board? But I think I'd just take a minute and just tell everybody what Boxlight does so they can put that into perspective with the rest of it, just from your point of view. Go ahead.
Well, Boxlight actually is really a conglomerate of several companies that have all sorts of capabilities for schools, everything from, for instance, all the smart boards, for instance, that we call Mimio Connect and the smart boards that schools use with all those applications. We have a lot of STEM products, for instance, a whole lot of things that, especially in this kind of environment where you need to be able to have what we call synchronous and asynchronous learning, where you can develop programs where, for instance, a student can do it at home and do those experiments and stuff and then bring it back in. And then, a lot of things, a lot of courses in the STEM area, then a lot of professional development areas where we help not only have the training for the different products and processes, but basically professional development for the teachers themselves and understanding how to do how to run the whole process of learning during these times and really the sort of subject matter areas also. And then obviously, one of our biggest areas is all those the technology that you can put into a classroom to do everything, and for instance, even technology, we have a 3D printer capability for the classrooms where they can do STEM stuff. We can make things that way, which is just really great for students to learn all sorts of different processes. And then we have a lot of what we call different STEM-related training that we can do. We have we call a lab disc, which basically it's a sort of a laboratory in a disc that you can take home and do all sorts of things with, and it records all sorts of different areas. And then we have things like MyBot, which is obviously a robot you can put together and learn coding. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of those kinds of things. But the whole area that Boxlight covers is really that whole spectrum of education. And it, just like you mentioned, though, we actually do help. I certainly help folks do the do grants, finding other things. For instance, a company called Crisis Go, for instance, does the can do the safety issues on like preventing school violence and processes in that area. And
right.
then the other thing that too often now by the way, the I guess we should mention that this particular grant, the coronavirus grant, is non-competitive. In other words, you get the money, and if you can build a justification, you get it. There's a lot of other grants out there that we help folks with that are competitive, right? That you develop.
Right. There's only X amount of money, and more people applying, right?
Correct. And so you, but saying that, those requirements into the whole spectrum of things, and really what you need to be able to do is write that grant toward what the requirements of that grant is giving you, right? And so one of the things that in both of these, that's why we help folks write a lot of justifications on what they're after, and we have a whole spectrum of partners that we use in different areas, so we kind of do we can do the whole complete thing with them. Certainly I help them with that, and even the process of managing that grant, if they need, external assistance on that, there's things that you use in grants, like the principal investigator, right? So that you do research along with it. That's why you're getting the other money, the other funding to do different things. So we help in a lot of those areas.
You do, and by the way, I love the way you describe Boxlight. I hadn't used that word before as a conglomerate. I just like the way you did that. That's exactly what it is. They have a lot of different things for a lot of different needs out there. And thank you for doing it. You can help the schools to do that. Let me ask you a question. You've been dealing in these big numbers and grants for a long time. And I think you said $154 billion, right? Is that the number you used that's out there?
It's $54 billion right now with ESSER II. And then $120 probably coming on this next one, yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be a funny question. So it's approximately, I'll say, $170 billion total, okay?
Yep.
And are you ready? Is that enough money?
I think it's enough money to dig out a lot of the issues for states funding schools right now, but we still need more funding in a lot of areas. Just like you mentioned, by the way, about something happens and we get money. I'm sure you're familiar with a whole lot of incidents that we've had in our government and our country where people were wanting money to do different things and nothing ever happened. But then a crisis happens, and money's going to come there. Example might be Texas, for instance, that just happened with they needed to fix their power. Well, I would be willing to bet you that that's going to happen here pretty soon. And that's what's going on now. When we talk about a war on this pandemic, we've had the incident occur, and so there's a good amount of money coming down. But that's also the reason for these grants right now, is that the states have already started to cut the budgets of the schools. I talk school boards and school board personnel
time
about the reason why we need to really actively look how we can get this money from these grants is that the states don't know right now, as we know, they don't know where they're going to make up for that money they've had to spend to survive the last year. And so certainly a lot of states are going, well, I know you wanted to do this, but you couldn't, and you wanted to do that. We just can't afford that. We're just trying to keep the doors open, and now we're going to get everybody hopefully going back to school. And so it's even a more critical time that it's worth the effort to put in for this money, because it's going to leave us by 30 September. Even though it lasts like for the next 3 years, these schools have to put in what they want to obligate to the states to get it in. So that's
man.
But there's certainly still going to be a gap there with what the states need and what these schools need. But certainly this will help help folks to sort of kind of try to catch up a little bit on what they've been needing for a long time. But you're exactly right about you know, this is the time to be using it. That's for sure, because the money's out there. So we need to work hard as we can to do that.
Well, it's just so tough. And what are you finding? And again, you work with Boxlight, so they have a lot. Actually, that's a good example. They have a lot of products out there, but we need more than products. So my question: what are you, as you look at what school districts, the ones you're working with, are doing? What are they asking for? Is that possible to answer?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they're asking for professional development, for instance, for their practice, especially since all the issues are going on about the teachers' concerns and things like that. They're asking certainly for the whole communication part. Probably the primary thing, frankly, is to be able to make a classroom not only efficient, but to draw in all the media and draw in all the different.
Mm-hmm.
Aspects to really give the students not only the clearest educational objectives in their teaching, but also, you know, a lot of the advancement areas that students need to know. You know, these kids are going to get out of school here in 10, you know, in 8, 10, 12 years kind of thing. And, you need to work on some of the most advanced systems to try to explain students how to use these. That's why, for instance, on STEM, on coding, you know, and things like that, obviously the STEM issue. Certainly a lot of schools are asking, how do we get more STEM training into our schools, and you know, how can we make it where the students sustain that interest in the STEM areas. But certainly those communication or collaboration packages that help students and teachers are our strongest area, because it really does make a difference in the classroom, especially if, you know, you got online. We have, for instance, a MimioConnect system that allows you to actually gives you a platform from LMS.
Right.
That's really good.
I know MimioConnect.
And that you can, but that's really what they're after, is how do we not only give the teachers a really smooth way and efficient way to teach the class, but how do we keep the students' interest in using these interactive systems?
Right.
And that's really, you know, that as we know, that's one of the things that our students, and we all understand that, if you can get the student involved in interaction in that classroom, they'll learn it better, they'll learn it longer, and they'll learn it easier. And so it's those kinds of things that Boxlight concentrates on, really all over the world.
Again, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. You the first thing you say when I ask you what are they spending it on, you say first thing that came to your mind was professional development. And it's a brave new world out there. Okay, and the things that you said that followed, like getting the kids engaged and all, that really boils down to professional development. Okay, in other words, here we've got, it's different now, and it'll probably remain different for a long time, whether the kids come back and add stuff. And now we got to teach to it and deal with it. And that's professional development, and you can't go back to college for that. Okay,
so it's
just interesting the way it all comes down to that, when all said and done. And boy, it's just brutal. How do people, I mean, they can apply, they can go to boxlight.com if it talks about funding here. They can certainly ask questions. Boxlight would be pleasurable.
Yeah.
Is there anything else they should know? Should they go to a federal government site, or should they just go get a good glass of scotch? I would recommend Johnny Walker Blue, but help me there.
I'll agree with that scotch, too, by
thank
the way.
You, thank
I
you.
I listened to you before. I'm the same way. But certainly our Boxlight site has all sorts of information on capabilities and that kind of thing. The government sites, the ESSER site, the DOE site, the GEAR site, all of them give assistance on what kind of programs are you looking for. These are the ones that kind of looking at that we felt do okay. But there's those sites will give you, and even if you go to the coronavirus.gov for the government itself, it kind of will can lead you into those. But certainly the DOE sites, and then the state's own sites that they have their own state DOE that you can go to that, and it'll take you to a lot of ways that you can start to understand that. That's also where you got to find when you find the application that the states. Now, by the way, right now there's more and more states every day that are getting their applications out that follow what we were just talking about.
Good.
But all the states have not gotten them out yet, but they have a whole lot of information for you to get you a train. But you know, obviously, you know, again, we can help you find that. Those sites and that information too. So.
Yeah, and I hope people do follow up with you, Don. You know what you're talking about, man. Okay, over at boxlight.com, everybody, just go over there. You'll see what we're talking about. Thanks a million, Don. This was great. By the way, how warm is it in Hickory today? What's the weather? Make me jealous.
No, I'm afraid I can't. It's pouring down rain, and it's not too bad. It's you know, almost 60 degrees. So that's. That part's not too bad, but
I live in Maine. I got a long way to go till I get to 60.
Well, there you go. I know you do. I know you do.
Not age wise, temperature wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
John, thanks a million. This was great. I really enjoyed it. Good man. Stay safe down there, okay?
You too.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye. Hey, everybody. That was great. Thank you, Don. And thank you, my friend Sunshine, for setting this up. Sunshine Dance over at Boxlight. Thanks, pal. Okay, that was Dr. Don Gemeinhardt. Don is the Director of Strategic Funding. He knows his stuff. And grants over for Boxlight. Okay, which I love the way he described it. I never used that word before. It's a conglomerate of educational needs. I love it. High tech. Okay, STEM stuff, all that sort of thing. Just go over there, check it out. That was really cool. We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. Please tell your friends about what we're doing over there. Go read our magazine, etc. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Stay safe.